Hey guys, I just wanted to use this time before the show to quickly apologize for the 2-week hiatus we went on unexpectedly. You know, work just gets in the way sometimes, and I got to reorganize things, got new guests lined up to be on the show, and we are back, and we will be back every week, every Wednesday. Also, I'm going to have some ads at the end of the show advertising, you know, other great podcasts that you could listen to. So if you're looking for other stuff to listen to these other shows. They're hosted by my friends, and I think you guys will like them. With that, enjoy the show. Again to the Yes and I Am podcast, the podcast where we learn about people. I'm Aaron Max, and today's guest is really special. I mean, talk about a legend. We have never had, we may have had someone with the size of this person, but we've never had someone who has conquered an industry quite like her. I'm talking about someone who's won 9 Grammys, nominated for 2 Oscars. I'm talking about Miss Dolly Parton. How's it going, Dolly?
Oh, gee, Aaron, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure. Thank you for such a kind introduction.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it's just amazing to see you all coming all the way out to New York. You know, I know you're so busy. You're in L.A. You were just on the Emmys, actually, with a reunion with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda.
That's right. I had a wonderful time, but I can always make time for New York and for you.
Oh, thank you. The people we're able to get on the show is just quite amazing. So, you were on the Emmys recently with Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, kind of commemorating your whole 9-to-5 thing. What's next?
Well, gee, I'm gonna think about doing a new tour. I think, you know, going back to my roots in 9-to-5, I'm just inspired to go back out there. I like keep working, and that song, it's such a, you know, such a mantra for me and such a mantra for everyone out there. I think, you know, keep working 9-to-5 and make the most of your life.
Wow, that is great spirit to have, but I mean, at your age right now, it must be tough to, like, keep up with the younger acts going on.
Oh, you mean younger acts like Paul McCartney and the Rolling Stones? They're out there. I'm only a few years older than them.
You are actually younger than Paul McCartney. But
am I?
Yeah, no, Paul McCartney is quite the old man. Paul, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on the show as well. But, I mean, you're, I don't know if it's polite to say your age on the air.
No, you can say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're at the age of 71, so it's not that old, but it's definitely one of those things I'm sure gets in the way of doing as many shows as you used to.
Sure, I might not be as sprightly as I used to be, but, you know, when you hear the cheer of that crowd, that's like a real battery that just charges you up and keeps you going, and you're like, everyone's chanting your name. How can that not inspire you?
You've performed with so many different acts over the years. What do you feel like was your favorite act to perform with?
I mean, Kenny's always going to have a real place in my heart. I mean, I got to talk about Kenny Rogers. Me and him, I just think, you know, it's such a special bond, the way our voices go together. He's a real champ.
Kenny Rogers is kind of a divisive character. He's known for being kind of a big drinker, you know.
True.
He's gotten himself into a little bit of trouble over the years. How do you feel about people who have let their celebrity kind of take control of their life?
I mean, I understand it. I try and support them. I wrote Kenny like a little book of cartoons with some quotes and inspiration just to try and get him through some of those dark times. And I get it. The pressure's so much. Like, I can see how people can fall into those ways. And to anyone out there who's starting out, I just say, keep on the green path. Don't fall into those traps. Keep green. Keep true to yourself.
Oh, keep green and keep true to yourself. How did you develop this mantra of yours? It seems like it's sage advice you could share with others.
Sure. Keep green, just really, like, it comes from being out in the countryside. You see trees, you see beauty, and you're like, That's pure. That's nature. That's not been tainted. And I want to keep myself that way, encourage others to be that way.
It's really beautiful words. Have you ever thought of, I know you already have a book, but have you ever thought of just like writing a book with advice for people?
I mean, Aaron, I'm considering it. I think I've got some wise words, and you know, sometimes it gets a bit lonely on that tour bus, so I've kept like a little journal as I go along, so I got a few other tidbits I could throw out there to the world.
Only one journal? I mean, you've been on tour for a long time. There's got to be like a plethora of notebooks by now.
Sure. I mean, I say one journal, I think of it as a collective piece, like it's the journey of my life. I mean, you're all right, it's several notebooks. I'm a big fan of like ones that have binders, and other times I've used ones that have like check pages, but each one I like put a special picture at the front that I draw, which is usually a picture of the tour bus and the tour bus driver, because I think, you know, thank the people who take you places literally and metaphorically. And you know, one of the other things that I've got in there is just like, have a dance every day and you'll stay away from danger and bad vibes.
Have a dance every day. Do you find yourself doing a lot of dancing?
Oh, for sure. Like, when I hear music, I just feel that rhythm and I can't keep my feet still.
Now, when you say music, do you listen to a lot of contemporary stuff, or is it stuff from when you were at your height? What are you listening to today?
Oh, I got such a wide range. Like, I whack my iPod on shuffle, and whatever comes up. It might be the White Stripes. It might be a bit of Radiohead. It might be some country classics. It might be, you know, something from the 60s. I just think, like, always keep your ears open to new possibilities.
Who's an artist you have a lot of respect for these days that you think could achieve, like, a high level of notoriety?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I do like Taylor Swift. I think she's got some great songs. I think she's a real inspiration. I can't stop if I hear Shake It Off. I gotta get up and dance around. That's part of my training for staying fit on tour. I know you were having doubts earlier I could do it, but a dance a day to Taylor helps me get ready.
I'm sure Taylor is glad to hear that you are dancing to her music. So, Taylor Swift, she's already massive right now.
That's right.
Her record sales are off the chart. So, you got all these journals.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to weed through them.
That's right.
Do you have someone that was going to help you decide what goes and what stays into this book of yours?
I do. I've had myself, well, it won't be a ghostwriter because I'm going to be there too, but I guess like a helper, a coordinator. I couldn't do this on my own. You need a bit of perspective, don't you?
Go a little more into what kind of perspective you feel makes for a good book?
Great. I want someone who, you know, has had some struggles. So like the person I've had, she's had like a hard time. So sometimes I can check if my advice resonates with her. I'm looking for that outside perspective. I'm also looking for someone with a sense of humor, someone who like can connect to a range of people. Cause you know, if I'm going to write it, I do want it to be popular.
Of course, anything that you write will probably be popular.
Oh, gee.
You had a YouTube video over the last couple of years. I can't quite remember when, but it was with the very popular a cappella group Pentatonix,
mm-hmm.
Where they sang your song Jolene.
Yeah.
That actually ended up winning a Grammy, which is crazy that it was just kind of like a YouTube video experiment that ended up getting that kind of notoriety. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what inspires you to just do whatever and keep yourself relevant the way you have?
Sure, I mean, a lot of it goes back to that mantra, go keep green, stay on the green path, and, you know, be true to yourself. Like, why not take a risk? You don't know what's out there. Like, if I'd said no to a bunch of things, like, I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, they're a great group. They're so inspiring. Like, of course I want to sing with them. You know what? I say to people out there, if you want to work with Dolly, why don't you get in touch with Dolly? I think that's great when people show initiative.
You're here today, so of course.
It's true.
So do you find yourself getting a lot of inquiries to collaborate with them? And
sure. I mean, just the other day, I got a someone tweeted me. It's like a musician that plays on the subway. And he was like, "Hey, Dolly, big fan of your work. Any chance you want to do a little song with me?" I was like, "Sure, why not? I got time to pop into the studio while I'm in New York."
This artist has a studio?
Oh, he's hiring one for the day. No, like, or it's just like his at home, not a proper studio.
Okay. I didn't know if we were going to catch a video of Dolly singing at the
subway.
Oh,
on the subway? So, yeah. Oh, no, I don't think so. That'd cause a commotion if you get me live on the subway, I think.
Definitely turn a bunch of heads.
That's true. I could be a one-woman flash mob.
Of course. So, let's talk a little about your movie career, because you've been in quite a few movies, the most famous ones being, as we mentioned before, 9 to 5. You were in The Best Little Horse House in Texas, Steel Magnolias, all great films. You haven't done any films in a while. I mean, you've had some cameos in some movies playing, like, aunts and mothers and stuff, but nothing substantial. Do you think you're going to return to film?
I'd like to return to film. You know, part of me's like, "Dolly, why don't you write a script?" Because you know what? I don't think there's enough great roles for women out there. And so if people aren't writing them, then maybe Dolly should write one of her own. I have to say, I also really like working in the live space. So, like, going back out on tour, you get to connect to people. And, like, in a film, you're just a face in front of a camera. And, like, I like that personal interaction.
Do you think... I know you like that personal interaction. Would you ever consider going on Broadway? I mean, you're here in New York.
I mean, that would be wonderful if anyone wants to have Dolly up on stage.
Well, I mean, most of your movies that I mentioned all have had on-stage adaptations. You think you'd ever write original stage piece?
I reckon, like, Dolly's got that in her. Maybe about, like... What would I write it about? I think I'd write it about a magical pixie.
Magical pixie?
That's right.
What would this magical pixie's journey be? Because most of your stuff prior have been very grounded, real life, talking about the struggles of real life working women.
That's right.
What's the story behind this pixie?
Sure. I mean, I think that would still weave into it, the narrative of women and their hardworking lives. But I want a pixie that can time travel and almost kind of take you through the ages and see perhaps, like, the journey of, like, one family throughout the ages of time. But I think, like, the pixie could just add in some, like, fun and, like, dream sequences that you wouldn't always get from my grounded work. And, like, I've actually been working with some synths and, like, different sounds, and I think that would be really fun to bring to the stage, maybe through a grounded narrative. That's not the best way to use that kind of music.
Okay, so there's this pixie.
Yeah.
And what kind of...
Charleston. Yeah.
So, is Charleston a male or female pixie?
He's androgynous.
Androgynous. Non-binary.
It's androgynous.
Non-binary. Pixie. Charleston. What struggles does Charleston face?
I mean, he's battling with depression, which people don't always expect from a pixie. He's battling coming from a broken home. And he just wants to get out there and, like, find a way for himself and hear from, like, a world that isn't like all rainbows and joy, because he actually thinks that that's a world he would be better placed in than living with fairies and elves.
Now, what is the dream for Charleston? Mm-hmm. Is music the dream? Is there an achievement that they feel like they weren't able to accomplish in their pixie world?
For sure, yeah. He would really like to be a filmmaker.
Okay, so it's about Charleston, non-binary pixie,
uh-huh,
who has aspirations of being a filmmaker.
That's right. And so he thinks, like, if he could document, like, a family's history through time, particularly focusing on the women, that would be a great story to go back and share in his world and prove that he's capable of being a filmmaker.
All right, so in most heroes' journeys, there's a person that our hero meets,
mm-hmm,
to help them on their journey, to guide them. Who is Charleston's guide?
Charleston's guide is a female called Joanne Doherty.
Oh, okay.
And he meets her when he time travels to the 1990s, but he's also able to take her back and forth with him. Sometimes he just leaves her in her world and he'll go back and revisit. Because I think, you know what, I'm quite a fan of 90s music and it's a little bit self-indulgent, but I thought it would be fun to have some songs in that era. So also it's a chance for me to flex like my creativity and dive into those areas of music that I haven't previously experienced.
All right. So is there country music in this, production?
There is. The country music is like, Charleston has like a core song that he'll go back to, which is like a motif which reoccurs throughout the piece. And that's really rooted in like country music.
All right. So, it sounds like it would require a very hefty production budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about, like, different worlds and that's such. Right. How do you think you're going to achieve such a feat?
I mean, I've got a decent amount of money and some people who want to back me. And I saw a production at Radio City last year, which just had amazing lights. And I was like, oh, wow, like you can do so much just with light now, not having to do loads of set changes.
Oh, of course.
So I think, like, that's a really interesting world to play in. And, like, people like Dolly. These tickets should sell, hopefully.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
you said it yourself.
Yeah, I have no doubt the tickets will sell. It just seems like, because when you're in theater, you're so confined to a space.
That's right.
And there's a kind of bit of irony that the lead in this play wants to be a filmmaker.
That's right.
But so you'd have to do some stuff that hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of theater productions do a lot with projection.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's a route you could look down. But I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Thank
and
you.
See Charleston's journey. All right. So you seem pretty busy with your advice book, now working in the early stages of a musical. Looking back on your career,
mm-hmm.
what are some of your most proudest accomplishments?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gotta be some of those songs, right?
of course.
Gotta be. I mean, that sounds simple to put it that way, but sometimes you just gotta say things in simple terms. Like, I mean, I really think I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, it's a classic.
I can't not mention it, you know. And I think Whitney did just such a great job when she sang it. It breaks my heart every time to listen to it.
Oh, you mean the Whitney Houston, R.I.P.,
the
tragic journey she lived.
I mean, I think between us, we've probably been played at more funerals than anyone else.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
I know, right?
So I Will Love You, you know, I'm, no.
Will you, Aaron?
Yeah, of course.
Dolly fan club?
I think all of America will always love Dolly Parton. There was a time in your career where you were quite the entrepreneur. You actually have your own theme park that I've actually visited, by the way.
Did
yes.
you have a good time?
It was interesting.
Okay.
I was 12 years old when I went
okay.
to Dollywood.
Yeah.
Because I, at the time, was visiting the University of Tennessee, and, like, it's not too far from there. So
great.
The group I was with, like, hey, let's go to Dollywood. Quite an interesting location, if I do say so myself. What was the inspiration behind creating Dollywood?
You know, sometimes I'm like, you can't just be a person, can you? You need to, like, put yourself out in the world so you can be remembered forever. And I'm like, if people get to go to a land that's inspired by me, that'll always keep me dear to themselves, and they'll remember the fun they had on those rides. It was really about, like, connecting with Dolly. Like I said, that's such a big thing for me, getting to connect to people. And I was like, if you can do that just by whizzing around on a roller coaster, then... Well, gee, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, you incorporated a lot of animatronics at Dollywood.
Yeah.
There's a lot of robots pioneering actually the field. Like you had them before Disney even had them. Why so many robots?
I mean, why not? They're great, right? I mean, they're more reliable than people. A lot of the time, you just oil them up, give them a tighten with the screwdriver, and off they go.
I have to say, they're a little off-putting.
Why?
The looks on their faces, I was actually just talking to my friend the other night about when I was a kid and went to Dollywood, and how there was, like, a Western ride, and it just seemed like all the animatronics were all just looking one way.
Of course? Yeah, of course.
Okay,
like, you don't want to go to a theme park and feel at ease with yourself. It's about challenging your day-to-day perceptions on life and your experiences.
So, it's intentionally off.
Yeah, of course.
What do you think that adds to the theme park?
I think it just gives you, like, it kind of makes you, you know that feeling in life when you do a double take? It's kind of getting that throughout the day so many times. Because it's like, oh, a theme park, it's fun, but, like, it also, like, it's fun, so I like to, like, get people on edge a bit. And I think it really goes back to, you know, like, old fun fair rides. I went to this great museum in Paris all about old fun fair rides. And, you know, they do have, like, a dark side, all the carnival arts. And I'm like, I want that in my theme park.
I mean, it's certainly an interesting choice. All right. So, Dolly, I have, I'm gonna move into our speed round.
Great.
I have some, games I'm gonna play, and, the first one's called Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with the game?
I'm totally familiar with
that. Okay, so basically I'm gonna read three names, great, and you tell me which category each goes into. First name is Reba McEntire.
Uh-huh.
Second name, Shania Twain.
Uh-huh.
And the third name is Taylor Swift.
Oh, gee. All right, well, I think I'm gonna marry Taylor Swift.
Okay, Mary Young.
Oh, well, now you've pointed that out. Now I feel a little bit insecure. Well, we'll just imagine that I'm a younger Dolly. Take away any difficulties. I'm going to marry Shania. No, I'm marrying Taylor. I'll fuck Shania.
And that means you're killing Reba?
Yeah, I mean, just by the process of elimination, but nothing personal.
All right. Well, Reba, nothing personal.
No, nothing personal. You got to stick to the rules of the game, haven't
you? Yep, and you're getting chopped. All right. So,
I mean, I'm a loving person. If I could change it to fuck, marry, adopt, I'd adopt, and me and Taylor could look after her, but that's not the game.
You are a kind-hearted woman, Miss Pardon. All right, so the next game I want to do is just, I just want to do a little bit of word association.
Great.
Basically, I'm going to say a word, and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind. All right, first word, country.
World.
Tennessee.
Tennis.
Barbecue.
Meat.
Guitar.
Play.
Breasts.
Bra.
Where,
Did you see, I stumbled because I went to a bar once in Paris, which just had bras hanging from the ceiling.
Oh.
It was called Bar Bra.
Very interesting. Whorehouse.
Brothel.
Theme park.
Dollywood.
Grammy.
Me.
Music.
Inspirational.
All right. Well, that's about all we have time for here, Miss Parton. Thank you so much for making your way out here. It has been a pleasure. Anything you want to say to our listeners before you go?
Oh, just, you know, remember my mantra, stay green. When you see the Pixie musical, come out. Do come and see it. Charleston would love to meet you on. Aaron, thank you so much for having me on today. It's been such a pleasure for me.
Oh, thank you again. And thank you all for listening. And we will see you all next time. Again for listening to the Yes and I Am podcast. This podcast has been completely improvised, so instead of having the actual Dolly Parton here, it has been my friend Miss Lindsay Bunnell. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Thank you for coming out here. I know it's been short notice. It's kind of random how we got you on the show, but you made it. We're coming back from a 2-week hiatus right now, so I'm sure our listeners has been chomping at the bit for a new episode, and I think you crushed it.
Great, thank you so much. I mean, she's just such a fun person to get to play, so it's a pleasure.
Awesome. So, what do you got going on in the city right now?
I'm pretty new to New York. I've just been here about 7-8 weeks. I'm playing in an improv team called Amelia. And then, yeah, just finding my feet, getting to meet people, really.
Okay, so Amelia, where are you guys performing, typically?
A few shows at the Pier, We've done some at Triple Crown, at Legion, like anywhere. If you'd like to book us, then just get in touch.
There are plenty of improv people that listen to the show. Get on that. What kind of improv do you guys do?
We do a mix. We'll sometimes just do a montage. We'll do like a meditation Harold, maybe a mono scene, like big improv nerds. So yeah, we have to do a mix.
And have you guys traveled a lot with the show?
Yeah, we went to LA for the Indie Improv Festival in July. We've also played in Finland and Sweden, improv festivals there, and a bunch of places in Europe. We hail from London.
So. Any favorite locations? Any crazy stories do you wanna?
Any crazy stories? I don't remember any crazy stories. That sounds terrible now. I'm like, no, my world is just playing. I think, just go do a bunch of festivals. They're always so much fun and so inspiring, and you get to meet, a load of people. So yeah. I've never been disappointed, and it's you always get to, play with the team you go with, and, some of the European ones, they'll put you in mixer teams, so you get to do a fun show with a bunch of people you don't know, which is
always great. I'm always amazed at how many improv fests we have just here in the United States. Yeah. I have a lot of friends, obviously, that tour with groups, and, they'll be like, Baltimore Improv Fest. I'm like, Baltimore has an improv fest?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
You always just think of the major cities, but it's been such a whirlwind spreading around the nation, and it seems like every major city now has, improv school, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right. Anything you want to say, plug before you go?
Just find me at Lindsay Binzy on Twitter, come invite me to come play, because I'm new to the city and want to make friends.
All right. Thank you again for coming, Lindsay. Our theme music is by the artist Regulus. You can check him out on SoundCloud. It's his song Yarning. Also, if you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating, a review. It helps with visibility for the show and helps more people find it. Thank you all for listening again, and we will see you all next time.
I'm Miles Newberth.
And I'm Tristan Miller.
Tristan?
Hmm?
What do you think of movies today?
I don't think they're very good. They're a bit crap lately, to be honest.
A bit crap movies. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could hear about good movies?
Yeah, I would love to hear about some good movies.
And I feel like it would be really helpful to hear a lot of ideas for a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
Probably weekly.
Yeah. Where could I find those good ideas for those good movies?
Some, really good movie ideas that you could listen to. I think there's a podcast that does just that.
Oh, what's it called?
Elevator Pitch, starring Miles Newberth and Tristan Miller.
Oh, gosh, it's ours.
It's our podcast.
Oh, when does it come out again?
Every Friday, we each come up with a good idea for a movie.
Based off of a prompt we've pre-selected.
Yeah. We each pitch an idea to a judge, and that judge tells us who wins and who dies.
Trapped forever in an elevator. Bah, bah, bah. Going up!